On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is the 10th day of February, 2015. It has gotten rather brisk again here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia. But to be fair, I'm not complaining because I'm not in New England. More specifically, I'm not in Boston. I've been in communication with my my dear friend and colleague, Bo Webb, from the 8 campaign. And he is up there. And bless his hillbilly heart, he said, "Bob, I have never seen so much snow in my whole life. Sick of the stuff." And he now has, I believe, he now has a personal vendetta against the snowplow driver, who every time he shovels out his driveway comes and recovers it for him out of a profound and abiding sense of, I guess, good Christian charity or something like that. Right? Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, this is The Horn. It is Titanic Tuesday in this, the second full week of February. February is a hard word to say. Most people just punt and say February, but there's an R in there, damn it. I'm going to try to pronounce it, February. It's the second full week of February, and it is the second full week of Black History Month. Something that, say, your various and sundry upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian white wingers seem to not want to notice much when they're talking about, "Well, it wasn't very nice of that Obama to be talking about how Christians was killing people when they had a Muslim done been burning people alive." Yeah. Of course, it wasn't exactly 1,000 years ago that good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian people were doing the very same thing to, black folks in the South. There are pictures. Horrible, horrible, horrible pictures. I mean, give you nightmares pictures. If you've got a conscience. That means you're baggers, birchers, deathers, tenthers, ninthers, booger-eaters, libertarians and the like. You know, they're not going to have any nightmares. Those are just the good old days, right? Yeah. But anyway, we will get through this Titanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday, of course, being reserved for magnificent expressions of the titanic intellect of the right wing. It gets its name from a story Jim told us long and long ago, of tuning in to right-wing radio over in America's fifth smallest radio market, or something like that, you know, Beckley, and hearing the right-wing blatherstate who was on from 10 to noon, but was eventually replaced, and he fielded questions, he did. He fielded questions from the knuckle-walking faithful who tuned in every morning to listen to him read the newspaper to them. I guess that's a public service among the right-wing types who can't read the newspaper for themselves. I don't do that liberal reading thing. But one called in one day, "Steve, how come is it you reckon they is seashells in the rocks of West Virginia?" Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Old Steve never got around to mentioning the movement of the Titanic butter dish. But just the same. Just the same. That's where we get Titanic Tuesday from. And, of course, you'll hear no ads on this program. Oh, no. And, consequently, we rely on you. We rely on you to keep this all going. And that is indeed the sole means by, well, I mean, I kick money of my own. We have done it over the years as well. But we rely on you to keep this network going. And we do that at the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. That's where you can sign up for a subscription. And, in fact, thank you, Judy. Judy signed up for a subscription today, and that's wonderful news. Thank you very kindly. We try to raise $150 every evening. And this week it is especially important that we keep up with it simply because, well, I'm taking, being the frivolous soul that I am, I'm taking tomorrow off and possibly Thursday to go and trip the light fantastic. We're going to fire up the Learjet here. I don't know. I may drive the Ferrari instead. Maybe the Maybach to go and take my daughter to a medical procedure down in Charleston because, well, you know, we live such a high-toned life here at the mansion. But anyway, no program tomorrow, no program Thursday, possibly. If I can get back in time to get behind the microphone, there will be a program Thursday. It just depends entirely on how freaking exhausted I am. So we're trying to raise $150 this evening. Actually, we're trying to raise $160 because we pulled up $10 short yesterday. $160. Thank you, one and all, to those who made that possible. And thanks for letting me know. Loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you, Jeremy. And let's see, I'm wandering into the chat room even as we speak just to see who's come by for this here Titanic Tuesday. Waiting. That's the other thing. This weekend is a big deal because there's going to be please let the weather cooperate. There's going to be a wholesale rethinking of the studio here. Yeah. And that'll mean bringing in the new mixer, bringing in the Mac, and hopefully finding out that our sound changes a little bit. It's not now. Let me warn you in advance. It's not going to change the telephony. It's not going to change, for instance, the way Tracy's call came in last night because that was stuff that was going on in the background at Tracy's. Everybody, this is not the standardized world of the 1960s where everybody had the same telephone. Everybody's got a different telephone. Every telephone has different settings. Every telephone reproduces voices differently. And there's no engineer here to be sitting there turning the knobs and the dials and making Oz the Great and Terrible appear out of the smoke. But things will be a little bit better, I do believe. And good evening indeed to Devin and Doctor Who and Jeremy in Vermont and Jug of Punch and Kathy and Labor Man and Michael and Texas T and Tim from L.A. and Third Stage Guild Navigator, veteran and inveterate indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who is has folded space and is both Sparky and Man Cave. I'm sure we'll have more folks wandering into the chat room in fairly short order. So anyway, hopefully we will keep up with fundraising this evening. 15 at 10, 10 at 15, 3 at 50, 6 at 25, 2 at 75, 1 at 150, however it happens. It can happen. And thank you to all of those of you who make it happen. I'd like to start out Titanic Tuesday with sort of anti-Titanic Tuesday kind of thing. I saw this the other day in an email, and I couldn't help laughing. I had to laugh rollickingly. This is the antithesis to Titanic thinking, but in its own parody way, it represents the perfect the perfection of the Titanic intellect. You know, we've been talking a lot about the measles outbreak, and the fact that this country can no longer agree that children should be vaccinated against childhood diseases, right? Well, here then. An individual by the name of Robert Moore Jr. wrote this piece. He said, "Guys, I want to let you know about a personal decision I recently made. I don't really feel like discussing it, but I want to put my position out there. Please be respectful." This is a really long post, but please read the whole thing. I will. "I'm taking the brakes off my car. This isn't a rash decision, so please listen up. A few weeks ago, I saw a car accident. Two people went through an intersection at the same time. Both slammed on their brakes at the same time and collided. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured. But then it occurred to me. If they had just gone through the intersection, they wouldn't have collided. The brakes caused the accident. So I decided to do my own research, and what I found was staggering. Hundreds of people every year are seriously injured by unnecessary braking. One time, I was driving in the snow, and I just lightly tapped my brakes, and it caused my car to completely lose control. My brakes could very easily have gotten me killed. Even more astoundingly is how often brake pads will warp and distort rotors, causing bumpy rides and squeaky wheels. And you know what? I also found that decades ago, brakes weren't even used. People would control their vehicle speed with downshifting and engine braking. Maybe it's just coincidence, but back when engine braking was used, there were almost no automotive fatalities. There were never brake-caused car accidents. After doing some more digging, I found a nefarious plot. Mechanics. The very people whom we trust to work on and care for our cars get paid to install and change brakes. You might think they care about our safety or our cars, but they're just in it for the $49.99 brake pad installations. So I talked to my mechanic about taking the brakes off my car, and I was disgusted by how poorly he treated me. He accused me of being ignorant when I was the one that looked up how much rotational torque brakes can put on your rotors. He didn't even know how much torque a rotor can take before being warped. He said, "Rotors are designed to be compressed, that it isn't actually a problem." Just completely dismissing me. Then he had the nerve to say that my personal choice had consequences, that I would affect everyone around me. Well, I've had it with him. I'm looking for a new mechanic. The problem is that so many mechanics are bought and paid for by the automotive industry that all of them are insistent about my car having brakes. Most of them won't even look at my car for other reasons, saying that a brakeless car could cause damage to their shop and other cars. What a bunch of bullshit. They just don't like those who believe in alternative braking techniques. Now, of course, big government is getting involved, saying that I must have brakes. That this isn't just about me, that I could hurt people. What happened to personal freedom? What happened to liberty? So, all I'm saying is, do your research. Don't just listen to the NTSB and big automotive. I made a personal decision for my family. We just said no to brakes. We'll be using natural remedies like gravity and putting our feet on the ground to stop. After all, if that was good enough for me when I was on my bike as a kid, it's good enough for my children in my car. Legal disclaimer, I'm not a mechanic and should not be considered a valid source of information for automotive inquiries. Vaxxers in a nutshell. You know, when not having brakes is outlawed, only outlaws won't have... Wait. So that's just a little starting place for this here Titanic Tuesday on the horn. God knows. I think we're going to be busy. What do I mean? Well, we've got stuff to catch up with, including because I admit it. Titanic Tuesday can sometimes be a kind of a catch-up day for Moran Monday. And so it is that we find ourselves considering something from yesterday's morning train wreck over to the MSNBC. Love me some Chris Hayes, some Rachel. I like Larry. But, oh, my God, what goes in the morning? And it didn't get any better yesterday morning. Oh, no. Let's check in with Joe Scar, who was feeling kind of snarly yesterday, who is upset that everybody in the world has not gone a-bowing and a-scraping and I don't know, panty-flinging over Bibi Netanyahu coming to beat his war drum in the United States Congress. Now, I mean, we're all up on this, right? I don't have to do a whole bunch of backstory. This will suffice. The day after that one in our White House's State of the Kenyan Union speech, John Boehner put down the Merlot bottle long enough.
Get me BB Netanyahu on the phone. I want him to talk to the Congress.
And so, contrary to the wishes of the executive branch, which constitutionally has power over foreign affairs, diplomacy, treaty negotiation, the executive branch is in charge of all of that. Well, screw that, said John Boehner. I'm gonna needle that one. Real good, and invite Bibi Netanyahu over to tell us how badly we need to start another war with somebody who's never fired a shot at us. To wit, Iran. Because, see, Bibi wants to kill him some Persians real bad. But he doesn't want to do the dirty business himself because he knows that if he had Israel's military to go do it, the Iranians would probably stomp him into a little greasy spot. So he wants us to do his dirty business for him. And that's what he is supposedly coming to the United States to encourage the Congress to do, to ramp up sanctions against Iran, to deliberately tank the negotiations between the executive branch and the Iranian government, which is, of course, the purview of the Iran, of the executive branch. But that doesn't sit well with either the Congress or Bibi Netanyahu, who feels like the United States is some sort of client state to do his bidding. Enter Joe Scarborough. Because, see, now there's a good handful of Democrats who say, you know, they're just not going to, you know, they got to do their hair that day. Or the dog ate their invitation to hear Bibi talk. Or in the case of Vice President Joe Biden, lo and behold, he's out of the country. We don't know which foreign head of state is going to die, but Joe's got to go to a funeral somewhere. Now, me, I think not showing up is okay. I think it would send a much more profound signal if a whole bunch of people would... You know, people who aren't in support of unilaterally waged warfare, people who aren't in support of killing hundreds of children, people who aren't in support of war crimes, would sort of stand up when Bibi comes in, and then when everybody else sits back down, remain standing, turn their backs for a while, and then march the hell out. That would be significant. But as it is, for instance, Bernie Sanders has said, nope, not going. John Lewis has said, nope, not going. 13, 14, 15 Democrats saying they're not going. And because, frankly, the whole shabby bit of morality theater is nothing but a direct insult toward the sitting president of the United States, who, even though he's black, is vested with certain constitutional powers regarding foreign affairs and diplomacy. Yeah. I mean, when Dim Leader was wanting to attack Iraq? No. You get the idea. So let's check in over on the set of Morning Trainwreck, shall we? Do let's. Get the hockey puck, by the way.
I wouldn't listen to presidents who are constantly looking for Nobel Peace Prizes when their very existence is at stake and on the line. So I wouldn't be quite so smug about mocking somebody as Jews are being gunned down in the streets of Paris and being attacked across
Europe. I wouldn't use that to evade the question. And the question is, do you think it was a good call on Boehner's part to invite him?
The more this president shows his hand on what he thinks about Middle East politics, and the more chaos that we have in the world, the more I think, yes, it was. That Benjamin Netanyahu, the people of Israel, and Jews across the globe need to know that there's at least one country that understands what they're going through, the anti-Semitism they face every day, and the fact that there is a country that has promised to get a nuclear bomb and wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Liar! I mean, that's just a lie. Iran has not said they want a nuclear bomb so they can wipe Israel off the face of the earth. In point of fact, if Iran built 10 bombs, Israel still has them outnumbered somewhere between 20 and or 50 to 1. Right? And such being the case, I'm sorry. Well, I've had It's, I don't think, I don't, it can't possibly be pollen. I mean, Jesus, it's, Cliff Soutis! Joe just, well, he's just the right, he's never going to stop being the right-wing asshat that he's always been. But this notion that, that only Bibi can save us, Bibi Netanyahu Kenobi. You're our only hope. No.
That right now is negotiating with the United States to get that nuclear weapon that would allow them to wipe Israel off the face.
No, goddammit, they are not negotiating with the United States to get a nuclear weapon. Hello, United States, hello? Could we borrow a cup of enriched uranium, maybe a little bit of plutonium? We'll give it right back tomorrow. We want to build a nuclear weapon. Well, all right, but we're going to have to sit down and negotiate this. Oh, that's fine. Thank you very much.
So the Europe. I know there are a lot of people out there that hate Jews. Go ahead, tweet me.
That's,
I know you hate
not,
Jews. I know you're anti-Semitic.
Low-hanging,
I know you don't.
Fruit.
No, it's not low-hanging fruit. If you can't go to a kosher deli in Paris, France, without being gunned down, if you don't face anti-Semitic attacks in England, if you can't send your kids in France to a nursery school without them being shot dead.
Wait, so this is all happening as a result of... Huh? Because the last I checked, the guys who did the Paris thing were, they claimed to be aligned with either Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and or ISIL, whatever. And Iran actually is flying bombing missions against ISIS. See what happens? Do you see what happens here? I mean, the pro-Israel lobby. And it's not even the pro-Israel lobby, the pro-Netanyahu lobby, the pro-fascist Israel lobby. Because there are far more intense debates that take place in Israel than we are even allowed to have in the United States. But here's Joe Scarborough saying that essentially Bibi Netanyahu is the Pope of World Jewry. That, I don't know, every Jew in the world has to pray toward Bibi once a day or something. When it is simply not true. If everything I understand, and I understand it talking to the Jewish members of the Horn Family Commune congregation, is if what I understand of that is true, it's a very contentious and fractious culture. What was that line I heard one time? Two Jews in one room will have three opinions? And that's not a slur, and it's not a critique. It's about a people who are very seriously concerned with getting tough questions right. But according to Joe Scarborough, is that Sephardic or Ashkenazic Scarborough? Dunno. Have you looked upon Joe Scarborough's hair? Combed and greased and... Never mind, stop. The parody's not working. Oh, let's just go back to the audio for a minute.
But go ahead, be smug about it.
I'm not being smug,
I can't
talk. You
don't understand what Jews are going through.
But Joe Scarborough does. He gets the morning blast fax or something. Somebody slips it under his door or wraps it around the milk bottle outside. Your morning report on what Jews are going through. This is just for you, Joe. God damn.
You go ahead and be smug.
I'm not. I think that you're evading the question. And it was a question
that you answered last week.
I
couldn't be any more blunt about it.
Okay.
I think
there should be a boycott on the part of Democrats.
Boehner's a hero for inviting
him. Let me just say to Democrats out...
Oh, that squeaky, whiny, squirrely little voice. That was Nicole Wallace. one of the people who helped sell all the blood and mayhem in the Middle East that Dim Leader caused, you know, in our name. Just saying, in our name. Right, yeah. Eesh. I think he's a hero. Shut up, Nicole.
There, I would love you, politically as a Republican, to boycott this. Please, boycott it. Please, stay away. Do Republicans, do their job for them. And show that you're not on the side of Israel. And show that you're not on the side of Jews being attacked worldwide.
Only that's not what it shows. What it shows is that they don't agree with the Speaker of the House of Representatives trying to usurp the constitutional authority of the President of the United States. This should not be difficult, but it is. But once again, that sad, sorry, miserable old trope about if you don't support every damn thing that Israel does, you hate the Jews! And, you know, you might as well be Mel Gibson, drunk out of your mind on the side of the 5 or the 10 or the 9 or the 6 or the 20 or the 3 and 7 eighths out in California all liquored up. That's the Jews! This is why we can't have nice things. Set you drinking, it will. Now, there's only one problem with Joe's full-throated defense that he mounted there yesterday morning. There is no more pro-Israel individual in the new 90 states of America than Abraham Foxman over at the Anti-Defamation League. I've thought highly of Abraham Foxman's work over the years in many instances. He calls out anti-Semitism where he sees it, and sometimes he calls it out where it doesn't exist. But by and large, the ADL does good work. And by and large, Abe Foxman is often a mouthpiece, just is, for whatever the state of Israel wishes to put forward as its goals and aspirations and policy, and he himself, Abe Foxman, has been known to holler anti-Semite at people who disagree with Israel, disagree with Israel bombing little Gaza children into their constituent molecular parts and sending them back to wherever it is that the candle flame goes when the candle flame blows out. But in this instance, none other than Abe Foxman of the ADL has said publicly, Bibi, stay home. Bibi, don't do this. Bibi, find a way not to do this congressional address, because you are doing Israel more harm than good. Because remember, the other part of this is that whatever purpose John Boehner had in making this happen, Bibi's purpose was to use the Congress of the United States like a skanky old whore and have the Congress be a backdrop and a stage prop for his continuing political ambitions in Israel, where he has, in fact, a not a sure thing election going on. He is challenged in an election that may be, or in which he is not a runaway favorite, and there is a significant voice in Israel that is saying that this is not at all seemly for Bibi to come over here and deliberately insult the President of the United States and a substantial amount of the polity of this nation for nothing more than his crass political ambitions. I mean, after all, you take away the American economic support of Israel, Israel doesn't last long. take away those billions that we use to prop up the Israeli nation every year, the billions of my tax dollars and your tax dollars, working Palestinian people's tax dollars, and ship it in its billions off to Israel to pay for the things that, among other things, are used to blast those aforesaid little Palestinian children into a million billion tiny little molecular pieces, and sometimes some bigger, chunkier ones. Well, you take all that away, I don't know, maybe they'll survive. And if they could, why? But anyway, even Abe Foxman is saying, yeah, Bibi, don't do this. And the Israeli newspaper Haaretz is publishing stories in which they note that, well, they might be trying to figure out a way to get out of this. Maybe Bibi just goes and talks to AIPAC like he was going to in the first place. Or maybe he talks to AIPAC and he has a little coffee klatch with right-wing Republicans who want to hang out with him. But it's going to cause real problems on both ends if he speaks to the Congress under this set of circumstances. Now, look, let's get something straight. If he was invited to speak to the Congress and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, you know, Nancy Pelosi says, you know, I'm going to be there. I got to be there. I wish he wouldn't come, but I got to be there. And I'm sure that Harry Reid will be there. Maybe Joe Manchin and his fabulous hair can come out and say, can't we all just get along? But if this had been done in conjunction, in consultation with the White House, even if I thought it was improper, it would have been done within the protocols of how our country and our government works. Steve with a note coming in from New York City. F. Joe Scarborough. No, no, Steve, not with yours, nor mine. Not on a dare, not on a bet, not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse, not in a train, not in the rain. Mm-mm, no. So it's you know, it's interesting, and it is a delightful, and I do mean delightful, example of right-wing thought processes. Hey, let's show that one in the White House. He's getting all uppity and stuff of talking with the Irans. We'll show him. Yeah, but what about the fact that the Israelis are having an election right now? Well, maybe we can help get Bibi reelected. Yeah, but we're not supposed to be doing that.
Well, I say we are. Well, this is what we're going to do. This is the Speaker of the House.
Right? Yeah. Titanic intellects. What can I say? A couple of emails rolling in. Jack in Shreveport noting, I heard somewhere, right-wing to radio, I think, a host and guest talk about President Barack Obama, his staff, and various people in the West Wing as a minimum that PBO and those people support. Wait a minute. You're going to do this with the reverb on.
Support radical Islam.
Jack says, I think it was on Hannity's radio show with Newt Gingrich. This wasn't something that could be interpreted as some Muslims were hurt in the Crusades or we should respect the Muslims and their religion when they act in a peaceful way. This was to be interpreted as President Barack Obama is on the side of and is supporting with arms ISIL and other groups like them. The term radical was used intentionally. When are we going to say the right-wing hyperbole is going too far? This has got to be treason or something. Well, it is. But treason, like anything else, Jack, you know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. They can do that. Tim from L.A. noting, Iran hates Jews? Really? That's got to be the most anti-Semitic and anti-Christian comment to date. And provides a link here noting that the beginnings of Jewish history in the area of present-day Iran date back to late biblical times. The biblical books of Isaiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Chronicles, and Esther contain references to the life and experiences of Jews in Persia. In the book of Ezra, the Persian kings are credited with permitting and enabling the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. Its reconstruction was effected according to the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. That's Ezra 6:14. The great event in Jewish history took place in the late 6th century BCE, by which time there was a well-established and influential Jewish community in Persia. And, of course, there is still a sizable Jewish community in Iran who, oddly enough, are not being gassed or hanged or shot. You know. But, nevertheless, right? Tim concludes, noting, morning train wreck is a train wreck. Don't these morons read their own book of fable called the Bible? No, they don't. They don't read it. They thump it. Steve noting in New York, the next step, the right wing will just say Obama supports terrorists and terrorism. That's not the next step, Steve. That's already happening. I saw that today on a couple of different posts. One from Lindsay Fainting Couch Graham. John, bring me the smelling salts. I'll be in the parlor near the fainting couch. Goodness me, that Obama is helping our enemies some more, and we need to be making a war on ISIL. Oh, John, you look so dashing in your uniform. Right? Yeah. Titanic Tuesday. That's what it's for. Oh, and thank you very kindly to Reinhardt. This evening's program is via a Have a Show on Me from our buddy Reinhardt. So if anyone would like to jump in and get side-by-side, elbow-to-elbow, shoulder-to-shoulder with Reinhardt and get us out front a little bit more, that would be wonderful. Thank you so very much, Reinhardt. And happy healing. I don't think I'm giving anything away by noting that Reinhardt is in a bit of a recuperative process. Thank you very, very much, and we hope you recuperate quickly. What else? Oh, goodness. There's lots. Lots and lots and lots. Oh, there's a lot going on down here. We won't be having a prayer meeting Wednesday, so we'll probably have a little bit of prayer meeting Wednesday stuff this evening. But, well, when you see stories like this next one, you just have to wonder how far we really, really are from a genuine showdown in this country. Now, I'm not talking about Chancellorsville or Antietam or anything. But remember, some of you, older than I, do remember when the National Guard was federalized and called out. To enforce the law of the land in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas. Stories like this make me wonder if it's going to be necessary again. Now, in yesterday's program, we featured a moron by the name of Judge Roy Moore. He is the Supreme Court Chief Justice in the state of Alabama, and despite a federal court ruling from a George W. Bush-appointed federal court judge in Alabama that has been upheld in the circuit, and despite the fact that by a 7-2 majority, the Supreme Court of the United States, Fat Tony and I think Clarence Coke Can Thomas being the exceptions, They declined the petition, so bang, no reason not to go in a FEMA so that gay people can get married to one another. The understanding being that gay people have been getting married all along, just not to the people they loved. But guys marrying guys, women marrying women, that can take place now. It's called equality. It's called the 14th Amendment. It's a good thing. But Judge Roy Moore, who apparently has never walked around places like Shiloh or Chickamauga or Lookout Mountain or Gettysburg or anywhere up and down the Blue Ridge mountain chain, the Valley Campaign it was called, who has never apparently been to Vicksburg, well, Judge Roy Moore thinks that the Constitution does not apply to Alabama and that he is free to engage in whatever nullification strikes his fancy, so he told probate judges in the state of Alabama not to issue marriage licenses for gay couples. Enter, many counties in Alabama bear the remainder names of all that was left, is left, of the brilliant native culture that existed there before their land was stolen from them and they were driven away so as to make room for slavery and slave-driven plantation economies. One of those native words is Autauga. It is the name of a county. Autauga County, Alabama. Where the probate judge is one Al Booth. You know, Booth, like in John Wilkes. Al Booth is the probate judge in Autauga County, Alabama. And he's one of those people who, on the heels of Chief Justice Roy Moore's illegal order to the probate judges of Alabama to stop, to not issue marriage licenses for gay people who wanted to get married because Jesus. Let's remember, he's doing this all in the name of Christianity, okay? And I wish to goodness the Christians would denounce him for it. So far, not so much. But, anyway, Al Booth ain't going to give nobody no marrying license because nobody gets to marry if the homos get to get married. Enter, Al Booth is also a liar. He said that he has no time to issue for his staff to issue marriage licenses because the workload there at Autauga County is so heavy. Just ain't got the time, I tell you, just ain't got the time. Kind of like when people of color would try to vote and they'd be handed a ballpoint pen and a piece of waxed paper and told to sign their name. Well, don't you have any other? Nope, waxed paper's all we got. Sorry. A little jail time would do Al Booth some good, don't you think? But anyway, so along comes a minister, Anne Susan DiPrizio. And she marches her American citizen self into the probate judge's office in Autauga County, where probate judge Al Booth won't issue any marriage licenses. And she said, oddly enough, she said to a male-female couple who were trying to get a marriage license, Courtney Cannon and Morgan Plunkett, and Susan DiPrizio said, well, I'll do your marriage ceremony, at which point in time, Judge Al Booth, liar, well, I got a heavy workload. Well, his workload was not so heavy that he couldn't pick up the phone and call the sheriff's deputies and have them carted off. You take this woman to jail right now. She won't leave when I'm telling her to leave, and she's gonna be marrying people. Damn it. Mm-hmm. The Autauga County Sheriff's Office in the Montgomery Advertiser said that they had been called to come and arrest Ann Susan DiPrizio. Well, it says here for trying to perform a same-sex marriage. Could be that Morgan Plunkett and Courtney Cannon are of same sex. I could be wrong. Doesn't really matter, though, because the 14th Amendment is the 14th Amendment. She was hauled away, she got on her knees, and the sheriff's deputies came and arrested her, put her in handcuffs, behind her back, charged her with disorderly conduct. As of the writing of the article at 2:31 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3:31 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this afternoon, she was still in jail, being held on a $1,000 bond. Yeah. Bless her heart. Captain Tom Allen of the Autauga County Sheriff's Department said, ma'am, if you do not leave this office, you will be arrested. And she got up out of the chair that she was sitting in and knelt on the floor. And that's when she was hauled off to the Autauga Metro Jail. Here's where it gets fun. Courtney Cannon and Morgan Plunkett had already gotten a marriage license. And the probate office just refused to perform the marriage ceremony. Courtney Cannon said, I don't even know her name, but she said she was an ordained minister and wanted to marry us. She was standing up for our rights to get married. Judge Booth called the deputies after he told her to leave. Courtney Cannon continued, I don't think she deserves to be arrested. They say they've stopped all marriages at the probate office, but I guarantee you if a heterosexual couple went in there, they would marry them in a heartbeat. By the way, Reverend DiPrizio says she will be back in the probate office and she will probably get arrested again. She said, I was trying to marry a nice couple and that wasn't going to happen today because Judge Booth explained that if he let one couple be married, he'd have to let everybody be married. So he was not going to allow us to have a ceremony there and had me arrested. I told him I wasn't going to leave on my own volition and I was very respectful. These are intimidation tactics, and we have the federal government on our side. It's bad for Judge Booth because he's on the wrong side of history. But the question is, what will have to be done to people like Judge Roy Moore in order to make the law of the land, the law of the land, even in Alabama stand? I mean, do you send in the troops? Do you is and if it isn't, why isn't it? Is being a devotee of Well, yeah, there is that, Devin. Disbarment? Yeah, that's a pos. But, really? Disbar the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court? That would require the actions of the Alabama Bar Association, who ain't gonna do it. No, I think this is gonna take federal action. And why isn't nullification, which essentially is an act of treason, why isn't that a chargeable offense? Now, just in case you're curious about Roy Moore's side of things, well, here's what he had to say on Good Morning America.
High-stakes showdown over marriage equality in Alabama. Most counties in the state defying a federal judge's ruling legalizing same-sex marriage, refusing to issue marriage license. The state's Supreme Court Chief Justice is behind the order. And ABC's Steve Osunsami has that story for us.
This morning, more than 50 state judges in Alabama still refusing gay marriages despite new federal law allowing them. Some even posting signs on the courthouse doors refusing to grant marriage licenses to anyone.
We've waited 33 years for this. I mean, it's a big disappointment.
In Tuscaloosa, they're turning gay couples away and handing them an order from Alabama's Supreme Court Chief Justice. Chief Justice Roy Moore is defying the federal judge's decision that's making Alabama the 37th state to allow same-sex marriage.
I think a redefinition of the word marriage is not found within the powers designated to the federal government.
Moore is arguing that the federal ruling doesn't apply to state judges who issue marriage licenses because only he has authority over those judges and he wasn't named in the lawsuit.
Do you worry that you will end up on the wrong side of history here?
Wrong side of history? Absolutely not. Did they stop with one man and one man, or one woman and one woman? Or do they go to multiple marriages? Or do they go to marriages between men and...
Here it comes! Hockey puck! He's going full Santorum.
Their daughters or women and their sons.
Even so.
Oh, he didn't go man on dog. Damn it. See, he keeps talking about this being a marriage thing. This is what proves that not everybody who gets out of a law school necessarily is intelligent. This has nothing to do with marriage. This has to do with the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which says that all Americans, all people in the United States, shall enjoy the equal protection of the law and substantive and procedural due process. It's pretty simple. has. Marty notes, I guess Roy Moore may be worried that Alabama's going to turn all Mormon, and everybody's going to be channeling their inner Joseph Smith and getting a bunch of sister wives. And why do we never hear about brother husbands? Right. Yeah. Anyway, what do you do about Roy Moore? I mean, you can't bust out all Henry II and say, will no one rid us of this meddlesome Chief Justice? And, frankly, his, well, nobody, I didn't get to invite it into the play in the lawsuit! That defense, no. That's weak. Very, very weak. Steve pointing out, I'll bet those judges' oaths of office include the U.S. Constitution. I'll bet they do, too. But it's just, it's kind of, what did George W. Bush call the Constitution of the United States? Oh, a goddamn piece of paper. The Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper. So, apparently it's just a goddamn piece of paper to Roy Moore, too. But it seems obvious when you've got, there's 67 counties in Alabama, and more than 50 of them are refusing to obey a lawful order of the courts. The courts speak only through their orders. And the court has ordered that marriage equality shall be the law in the state of Alabama relative to the Constitution of the United States, which, despite the birthers and the deathers and the ninthers and the tenthers and the booger eaters and the birchers and the libertarians and the family values conservatives down there, is still in effect. Now, how do you make them obey the law? Do you send in? Look, I would far rather have, and I read the story over at on Charlie Pierce's blog earlier today. Turns out the FBI is quietly knocking on some doors and up in the Northwest, saying, "You know, we're not investigating anybody, and you're not under investigation or anything. But would you tell us about what it is you're doing to oppose the Keystone XL pipeline?" Look, instead of getting those FBI agents all worked up over that. How about seconding some FBI agents down to the state of Alabama and escorting couples who want to get married into a probate judge's office, and instead of the probate judge ordering a preacher arrested, how's about the FBI arrests the probate judge on criminal civil rights violations, because that is a civil right. The Union burnt the shit out of a bunch of the South, and the dumb bastards still didn't learn. Ah! So, I don't know what the answer is. U.S. Marshals? FBI? National Guard? And being as Roy Moore is trying to gin up a violent situation, can he be indicted when some dumb redneck, family values, conservative, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical fundamentalist decides to blow away a gay couple? We wouldn't want to do that now, would we? We wouldn't want him actually held accountable for his actions. That'd just be wrong. But, oh my God. You kind of knew it was going to be this way, didn't you? I mean, marriage equality went through in Iowa, Massachusetts. It's gone through in 36 other states in the Union. And sure, the right-wing, Bible-believing, God-given, upstanding, Jesus-loving, gun-loading, toting, Bible-thumping Christians have had their hissies, but it hasn't gone this far, has it? George Wallace is not that dead, is he? No, he's not. I said segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Well, there's just not a hell of a lot of difference between that and Judge Roy Moore. Same damn bunch. Same damn bigots. And the question is, do we have the guts? Do we have the guts to actually enforce the law? Or will we patty cake with these bigots and let them flaunt their nullification-driven treasons unaccounted in our faces? Hard to say. No, it's not hard to say. I know how this is going to play out. We'll let them. The president, not sure, instead of calling out the National Guard or seconding some FBI or anything like that, he'll Jedi mind trick them and let them blow themselves furiously whiter in the face, and then it'll just be the law of the land again, even in Alabama. And there will only be 13 more states to go. At least you hope it works out that way, right? All right. So thanks again to Reinhard for having a show on me this evening. And anybody wanting to jump in alongside Reinhard and get us started on another night is welcome to do so. You can treat Reinhard's kind contribution as a challenge if you wish, because I'm sure as he recuperates, he would love to have some company. So here we are at 10 minutes past the hour. I'll close the filibobster with that. Phone lines are open. 304-574-8178 is one number. 304-663-4676 is the Gizmo line number. You're welcome to try either one of them. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. If you're already a contact with me on Skype, that works fine. Try to not have a whole bunch of noise going on in the background. It makes it easier for us to hear you, and we want to hear you. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the Horn. And yeah. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah.
2001 Southern Rock Opera, the patron saint band of the Horn, the Drive-By Truckers, and Wallace. Seemed fit, don't you think? It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, 14 minutes past 7 o'clock here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And the other line, 304-574-8178, is open. But let's go to the Gizmo line, where I think we got Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yes, you sure do, Bob. How the hell are you?
A little bit colder, but I don't have 5 feet of snow in my yard.
Yeah, that's good. It's been off and on up here. Nothing. I keep coming back to the biggest one I ever saw was 24 inches of snow in 24 hours. The only thing running was street cars. They had work vehicles to keep them plowed. And they ran. And then there was a milk stealing Bill Vernon and Jerry was close. And you hear this clanking noise, and the National Guard tanks were dragging trailers loaded with milk out to the stores. Because milk was important. Well, milk was oversold as to kids. I don't know how good it was for you or not to this day. I don't know. I like the taste of it, but, when it's cold, ice cold milk, yes, sir. But, yeah, you hit it on the head with the Netanyahu situation. Me, I have a personal situation there because of my first wife, being Jewish, her sister moved to Israel and studied nursing and then medical doctor stuff and lived over there about 25 years. And the Six-Day War, I'm very familiar with the 67?
Yeah.
And so I'm familiar with that. And for instance, the USS, what was the ship that was attacked?
The Liberty,
yeah. Moshe Dayan was loading his tanks back onto carriers, and he was headed for a place called the Golan Heights. I'm telling you what, Heinz Guderian and a lot of other German Panzer leaders would have been pretty delighted with the work of the Israelis these folks, this military were fast learners, and
One of the most outlandish and outrageous things that Joe Scar was battling about in that clip we played was this notion that somehow or another Bibi Netanyahu speaks for every Jew in the world. And News Ninja Carol Baker pointed out, Bibi Netanyahu speaks for all Jews? Barbara Streisand speaks for Jews more than Bibi. Do I really need Scarborough to goy-splain the Jews to me? Goy-splaining. That's a great new word.
Why do they have him on that network?
He won the lottery when, I guess you could say he won the lottery when, what's his name with the cowboy hat screwed up? The old worn out DJ. The one who called the Rutgers women's basketball team, nappy headed hoes.
Yeah, you worked in Cleveland, that guy too. In my youth, he was around here. The guy in New York. And he had some funny things going, he read a list of names, and it was a litany type thing that only a good Catholic boy would understand, where you said something and then the answer came back. It was the equivalent of, you would say something and I'd say amen and hallelujah after everything you said.
Oh, call and response.
Yeah, call and response, which is, of course, the classic of a lot of Ray Sherrill's work. He was using that technique. In fact, he got in some trouble with the religious folks because the music was too much. He was stealing too much from gospel music, I guess you'd say that, stealing. But the deal was, I was a believer. I would choose. I I was, it was in the 67 war, I didn't think, I was not impressed with Gamal Abdel Nasser.
No.
I didn't think he was.
And you know, the pathetic, well, it's the same curse that has bedeviled the Arab world for years, the inability to unify.
Yeah.
Wasn't happening.
Well, he put Syria together with Egypt and the United Arab Republic, and you know how long that was united?
What, about 15 minutes?
Close, you know, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. I can't count that high anymore. Let me take my shoes off here. Oh, maybe I can now. But things just seem to, I mean, that part of the world, is there something in the water over there or in the air? Because if you go back in the history of man, and woman, of course, but using the traditional way of history of man, because the history of man can be by itself, and the male part of it can be pretty loose and revolving, you know. But anyway, that Middle East has just been one disaster after another. The Persians, they weren't the nicest guys in the world, and...
Hold on a minute. The Persian Empire, Bill, was actually a stabilizing force.
Yes.
In that region. The terrorists were the ancient Greeks.
Yeah. It seemed that Mediterranean bathtub just seemed to be a place where people had to fight over something, and usually it was economics. I don't know what the Crusaders were about. If they were about religion, these people were really nuts. You know? What did the French hold power in Jerusalem for about 75 years? The Frankish kingdom of Jerusalem?
And the whole area was referred to as Outre-mer, which was basically outland, the, you know, over there. Foreigners.
Well, my first wife used to kid me. She said, "Bill, if we Jews are so smart, how come Moses stopped being the only area in the Middle East where there wasn't any oil?" It was her line of humor. That was for her to say, not me. But the truth is, that's about the truth, isn't it? There's no oil in Israel, as far as I know. There may be a lot of gas somewhere over there, though. Like Lebanon, I think there's a lot of gas there. And Lebanon used to be a beautiful, peaceful little country. And, you know, after World War II, it was very, they called it the Switzerland of the Middle East. I heard that term used.
Right, because they attempted to maintain some form of neutrality.
I mean, they say the Israeli army is a tough bunch, but maybe I know Netanyahu gets his support from far-right areas of the Israeli political spectrum, and that includes the real super-hardcore religious people, which, you know, I don't care whether it's Protestant, Jewish, Catholic, Islamic, the more hardcore they are, the more dangerous they seem to be.
That's what I was getting on about last night, Bill, is that any simpleton like Mike Huckstervey, who thinks that religion is the beginning and end point of conflict, is just, I don't know. I mean, they're neophytes, they're babies, because ISIS was created, you know, sort of by us, we invented Al-Qaeda by arming the Mujahideen against the Soviets. We created ISIS by destabilizing Iraq. Now our dear, dear, dear friends, the Saudis, have been funding ISIS for all they're worth. and a little pettifogging pissant like Lindsey Graham wants to send my kid over to fight him? Fuck him, you know? I mean, I think I just let that fly,
Bob,
didn't I?
I have to thank you for the teaching me about things like fading couches. I mean, I'm old, but they were a little before my time, you know? I just had a pass-out place. You know, that was different. Yeah. I don't know how much skin I had when I hit the ground, you know? Oh, man, you talk about insanity. Women are picking you up at a bar. You go home with them, and all of a sudden you think, oh, what if she has a nasty boyfriend? For all I know, she's married. I'm going to go up there to the door with her, and I'm going to be running for my life. Because things, what's the word that you have? Stuff happens. Oh, usually people use the other name. I still can't remember that chain of short order restaurants that's operating all the way up here, too. We have them up here, and says, man, when you talk short order to me, all I can think about is walking into one place and you order something. The guy would yell out, Adam and Eve on a raft. You know what that is?
No.
Poached eggs on toast.
I'll be dipped.
This other place you walk in and they'll say, bash them and trash them. Make scrambled eggs, I guess. I don't know. I can't think of the name of this chain of restaurants. Somebody bail me out. You guys are...
I got Waffle House and Omelet Shop.
Waffle House, yep.
Scattered, smothered, and covered. That's how you get your hash browns, scattered, smothered, and covered at the Waffle House.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because, I mean, that took me back years when I first went in there. I said, man, I haven't heard anybody talk. There was a diner that was clinging to the side of the Interbelt Freeway, went through there, and it was on Eagle Avenue. It was the B&H Diner by name. So, of course, you know what we tagged it with. The second word was Eve. And the first, the B. Well, I don't have to tell you what that stood for. There's something, this is what I love about the English language and slang, which I had a dictionary of American slang. I wish I, that's the book where I picked up the term Spanish athlete, a bull thrower, you know. I don't know, is it the English language? I bet every language has this ability to pour out words that said one thing, but the way you said it, it meant two others.
Right, exactly. And
well, coffee
and
was Java, you know?
Yeah. Java, Jamoke, Joe, Carbon Remover, yeah.
Yeah, well, I use that coffee from New Orleans, coffee and chicory. I love that stuff.
Well, that's on my list. You've actually mentioned it sufficiently that when I can do it, I'm going to order me some. I want some, because you know I found my decaf coffee with chicory, and I'm stoked. Today I'm celebrating something else. Today I received today, Bill, I received a package from Madisonville, Tennessee. And in it were vacuum-sealed pounds of Benton's hickory-smoked bacon.
Oh, man.
And it's the best in the world, period. None better, nowhere.
Oh, around here we get, if you can get it, the Amish make a lot of, they made some good bacon, slab bacon, and they cut it to, you know, how thick you want it. Of course, me and I shouldn't be able to look at bacon. No, not after a heart attack at age 51. Yeah, 51. And then the other mess last year, I mean, it's family related. My old man was 57 when a heart attack got him. And so I actually beat him to it. But Bob, when I'd show up to play a job, if I didn't have four packs of cigarettes with me, I wasn't trying. And three quarts of coffee, and then I could put away a half a fifth of straight gin on top of it. So I had my, and those, well, the guy from the Thunderbirds came in, the harmonica player, one night, and that guy was up. I was playing alongside him. You talk about a guy who had a shake, and that Kim Wilson was a hell of a player. There's a couple of pieces of music I wish you could play. One would be Ray Charles' Lonely Avenue, and the other was I Can't Stand the Rain by Ann Peebles. That's, man, you know, that's solid R&B. And I guess because I listen to WLAC, and I'm sure you're familiar with that station, because that was a big blues station in the 50s. They had 3 hours of one guy and 3 hours of the other, and their sponsors were mail order record companies that were selling this. You could buy, if you were a black person, this is how you bought records, because, you know, that's a another sociological bit about, you know, and I don't know, growing up here and living in an integrated neighborhood, I'd go sit on a bus and I didn't care who I was sitting with. Well, there was one guy there who talked to himself a lot. And now when I'm sitting here alone at night, I can do a good imitation of the guy, you know. He was pretty funny. He was always bitching about how bad his ex-wife was, you know. And there's another guy who carried a big white guitar with him. He called himself Romeo King. He may have been Romeo, but he sure couldn't play the damn guitar, you know. I heard too much of this stuff. And when driving by a little bar where they're hanging a sign up on Thursday night, this weekend, Ray Charles, that was 19, well, as a blues singer would say, that was 1957 when I saw that happen. It was just amazing that there's such great things. My mother was cleaning the house on a Saturday when the word came over the radio that the North Koreans had invaded the South, because it was Sunday, June 25th in Korea, the international dateline, which is not to be confused with phone datelines. Those are different.
Right, yes. A telephone dateline costs you $3.95 a minute. Crossing the international dateline to invade Korea cost you several million dollars.
Yes, true enough. I got one more thing that I was going to think about. When somebody talked about the shooting in the 51 or 2 at Blair House, well, old man Blair was a Democrat, and one of his sons, Francis P. Blair, was a Corps commander for Sherman at one point or the other, because these guys could. And Benjamin Butler, old Dullface himself, he's worth looking at as a Speaker of the House. That job can draw in some real idiots, you know that?
Oh, understatement of the evening.
Well, I'll let you go and make room for somebody else, but this fact that I have seen so much of this crap go by me once, and I said, Bill, the music goes round and round and comes out here, the old song was, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, stay out of trouble.
I'm going to try. You stay warm, and we'll talk soon, Bill.
Good luck with your daughter. Take care.
All right, thank you very kindly. I appreciate it. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. And let's see here. We're going right over to the other lines. The Gizmo line is now open, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. A little bit of breaking news. Just saw this come across. Jon Stewart has announced that he is leaving The Daily Show. Nothing further, just a confirmation from Comedy Central saying, yep, he'll be at the helm of The Daily Show until later this year. Don't know if he's going to... who knows? Who knows what the next gig is? Let's go over to the other line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, welcome to you.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, not a whole hell of a lot. Sitting out here in Wyoming, marveling at the fact that I'm out west and it's actually above freezing, but the East Coast is turning into a nice blanket of snow. Global warming? Nah.
Well, some of it is. Meanwhile, here in the hills and hollers of West Bicol, Virginia, John, we should have a few inches of snow on the ground at the very least. I don't think we've gotten 6 inches of snow all winter. Now that may mean we get absolutely dumped on, like, you know, in April or something. But
Well, I grew up around Washington D.C. when I was a kid, and I remarked on the fact that back when I was real young, I mean, it was every winter you'd get 2-3 good snowfalls, but towards my latter teenage years, you can see 4, 5, 6 years go by and not see snow. And, you know, now, of course, they're getting hit a few times with some pretty good dumps, but seems like the trend seems to be less and less of it. So, yeah, by the time we fiddle off the mortal coil, the Kansas will be a desert, and they'll be begging for water in Los Angeles, you know, the usual stuff.
Well, they'll be begging for water. That's the problem, though. If the right wing gets its way, we'll be begging for water in the places that have water. I mean, this...
that's it.
Little old West Bicol, Virginia, is among the most well-watered states in the Union. We're a freaking temperate rainforest. We get annually about as much rain as Oregon does on the west side of the mountains. In Washington. But the problem is, it's falling on poison places, and the water gets ruined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read a white paper years ago about the preeminence of Canada in the latter half of the 21st century, when water and other natural resources become so scarce in the United States that we're forced to buy it from them at huge prices. So it'll be interesting to see how that breaks down. But part of the reason I called is, you know, you talk about Pastor Huckabee. I wonder if this guy ever remembers that back in the 56, 57, the CIA in its glorious self decided that the duly elected leader of Iran that was voted in with a popular election had to be deposed so they could install a guy on a peacock throne.
Yes, the peacock throne.
And, you know...
Reza Pahlavi.
They keep forgetting that, people wonder why these guys hate us so much. Well, you know, although we were a little bit late to the game, the United States had a good hand in messing around with that part of the world since about the 1920s, 1910s. I mean, we were right. We had a hand in carving it up after the First World War.
Sure we did. A little hand, but it was mostly the French and the British.
Yeah, we had a hand in it.
Carving
like
up,
I said,
yeah, I mean, we acquiesced. We carving up the remnants of the old Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. And like I said, I mean, you know, when we stuck the Shah, Pravati, I think his name was, or something like that, he was one of the most hated guys in that section of the world. His secret police was notorious for black bag assassinations.
Yeah, the Savak.
The Savak or something like that, yeah.
I always remember them because it's a Vulcan name.
Yeah, that's it. I hated the way they screwed that character up. Kept sticking in a different chick every movie. Christy Aguilar made the best one, but then I guess she didn't want to do it more than once. But obligatory Star Trek reference aside, it's required. I see it in the small print here in the paperwork. I get a little irritated, and part of what sparked me to call today was that this conversation, and I don't know what it is you do, you either have a spy camera on me or something, because I'll get into an argument with somebody at the truck stop, and then lo and behold, you pop up in the evening, and you're bunking right on the same conversation that I just got through defending 4 or 5 hours times earlier.
No, it's that frayed moth-eaten purple velvet magician's robe with the press-on applique stars and moons.
Yeah, I said I listened to this old boy over in Nebraska. And I swear, if he wasn't 5,000 years old and a good wind would break him in 50 pieces, I had a momentary thought in my mind, I'm going to punch this guy right dead in the face. Because he was, I mean, and it would not be such an issue by itself, but he's got all of his cronies. These are, I guess, local people that come to the place to sit and eat breakfast and pontificate about the world and stuff like that, and you, a lot of times they're fun to be with and they're very enjoyable, but there you catch them like they did this morning, and you just realize just how deep the poison runs, because this guy sat there, and of course this particular truck stop had the obligatory Fox News on, and the meme that was running around is apparently Obama did an interview with this internet operation called Fox. And they were just absolutely losing their freaking minds.
What little of them they had, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's gone even past the whole Kenyan usurper, or you say usurper, which I get a tickle out of.
I stole that from Brother Albert in Wisconsin, so.
Yeah. I mean, in this particular group, they'd gone past that. As far as they're concerned, Barack Obama is a flat-out freaking traitor and should be shot and hung because of his comments when he, you know, first of all, I mean, you had your thing yesterday, I believe it was, for the little lady, what was her name, Paul or something like that, that had her, you know, raped during the prayer breakfast.
Raped
us and...
Oh, no, the Star Parker. Stuff. Yeah, the Star Parker who was getting
Parker,
on her.
That's the name, yeah.
Yeah, she was getting on her verbal rape.
Well, her verbal rape had apparently hit a strong resonance with these people because they were just, this old boy was just flat out, you know, his response to the problems in Iraq is, and let's see if I can get this quote more or less correct with slight editing for content. We just need to park a couple of submarines off the coast and just send some Tomahawk missiles up there, up in there, and just turn it into a glass pancake.
Oh, yeah, glass it, sure.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going, yeah. And do you have any idea the reaction of the world if we did that? And he goes, I don't give a damn. We'll nuke them, too. Well, I'm going, okay, let's just take this. And I was doing this deliberately just because I'm a bit of a confrontational butt myself. But I'm going, so let's get this straight. You just want to nuke anybody who crosses us. That's right. And then he dipped into the old well, and that's what you get a kick out of. We are ordained by God.
Oh, mercy.
To bring this world...
You got to understand though, John, you're a bit of a rarity. Maybe I can't speak authoritatively on this, but I'm positing a theory that because of the proliferation of right-wing radio all over the country, it is far more likely that your average over-the-road truck driver is going to be right-wing oriented.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You should see the names I get called occasionally.
I imagine that. Just please tell me it doesn't. Tell me there's no. For Roger Rubber Duck, you got communist you. Yeah, no, please tell me it ain't happening on the CB.
Well, the CBs are pretty much out. They're not even used much anymore. I mean, a lot of truckers have them in the trucks, and they'll pop them on if a wreck is up in front of them or they're the shipper, but there's literally no conversation on the radios anymore. Everybody's got their cell phones and their, you know, and their Sirius radio and stuff like that. So truckers, the only time they really talk to each other anymore pretty much is, in the restaurants and stuff. They don't talk on the road.
Well, I do notice that when I walk into these, and I didn't know until I did, some of these truck stops are like Walmarts of trucking stuff. And there's always a wall of CB radios. And I'm like, really? Are these things still a thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a thing. You still have them out there, but you'll notice the prices of them are going down. And I can turn my radio on, like, just for fun. I'll turn it on and just have it kind of in the background just humming, and I could go 50, 100 miles and not hear anything. And I mean, trucks going, you know, whichever direction I'm going, plus going the opposite direction. Because again, I mean, you know, you'll see now, if you really pay attention to it, you'll see a lot of them, like I'm using a headset right now, even though I'm just sitting here parked, it's just comfortable for me to use a headset, but, a lot of them now, if they go by, and we'll even dip back into the Star Trek reference again, because you'll see a driver go by, or you'll see him walking through the store. He's got the headset on, got the little blue light flashing next to his ear, and I'm going, ah, first generation Borg, I see. he'll give me a look like what's
resistance is futile.
Oh, yeah, and I get a kick out of it. And you'll see them all the time driving down the roads. And, you know, there's some pretty hefty fines and stuff if you're using a handheld phone out there nowadays.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, if I call you and I'm actually moving, I'm using a hands-free system, and I've got it run through my radio in the truck, so.
Well, I wanted to just sort of back up for a minute to something that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Our buddy Jason just tweeted something to me. I said a little bit ago that I fear that there will be violence in Alabama over this marriage issue. Of course, it will be ginned up by Roy Moore, and the blood will be on his hands, and nothing will be done about it whatsoever. Well, it turns out I was right. You know, but we're back to that dry, rotten purple robe again. Because Jason sent this along. The United Dixie White Knights website, as well as the Stormfront website, have published a post from a Klan group in Mississippi, Stan, and they have issued an actual, and this is what they're calling it, call to arms in Alabama.
Yeah, it popped across my phone feed. I got a news hook in my phone, and although the Yahoo one's aggravating me because it gives me the information I don't really need. I knew about John Stewart about an hour ago, and I'm like, do I care? No. I can't filter it out. I can't get rid of the damn thing. But, it's not surprising at all. I mean,
well, what's disturbing out of this, though, is that they are making their call to arms, like guns, and telling all the Klansmen to leave their bed linens at home. He says, we have made the decision that we don't want to distract attention away from the issue, as any time the Klan rides, we are made the issue by the Zionist-controlled media. These people are idiots, John.
Well, actually,
but they're dangerous, heavily armed idiots.
Let me do a semi pushback on that.
Okay.
Yes, they're idiots. They are idiots. You are correct about that. But I truly believe that for a lot of these people, it has been spoken from grandfather to son, grandfather to father, father to son. Come here, boy, sit on my knee. Let me tell you something. And this has been passed down since the days of the end of the Civil War.
No fight with me on that.
Yeah, these people, as far as they're concerned, the Civil War never ended. In their mindset, they are the good people. And they wrap themselves up in the cloak of religion, they wrap themselves up in the morality of the cross and all that stuff, which I've always found amazing that most popular religion in the United States is one that patterns itself and uses as its primary symbol an instrument of torture and mayhem as its symbol of whatever, and they never seem to look at that and understand the weirdness of it, but oh well.
No, I understand. I understand, but
They don't. These people do not like the United States. They don't like it. They lost the war, and it has always festered in them.
Right, and that's why they continue to fight it. I mean, I grew up, John, in a part of the country where it was nothing to see. You know, in Alabama, you only have to have your license plate on the back of the car, not the front. And mm-hmm. There are some states where you have to have it front and back, so that front space was blank. And there was an industry in making cute tags and whatnot, and you can get them airbrushed for you at the fair, and it'll say Marvel, you know, Marveline and Cletus Forever and the little sunset and stuff. But they're the ones that show an old grizzled Confederate veteran with the battle flag over his shoulder, and all it says is "Forget Hail."
Yeah, hell. Although I don't think they mean it that way, but there's even a trucking company called Kennesaw Trucking that has as its kind of mascot logo is an old Confederate, or maybe he might be Union actually. To be honest with you, I can't remember if he's gray or blue, but I mean he just refers right back to that era. He's got the little kind of tilted forward hat and a little musket with the bayonet on it,
the kepi, yeah,
and all that stuff. Yeah, and all that stuff. And I mean, like I said, I don't think they're making any kind of political statement. It's just a little mascot for their company. But it's a strain that goes through that entire part of the countryside. I mean, like I said, I grew up in Southwest Virginia, and that was thick down through there. And, you know, and it's part of the reason why they hate the federal government, because they see, you know, generation to generation, they see the federal government as the inheritor of that damn Lincoln and his fighting a war and burning Atlanta and taking away our Negroes and taking away our way of life and blah, 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 blah. And that poison has just kept on and kept filtering generation to generation. So now you've got guys like Huckabee running around out there. And I'm willing to bet, and this is me being somewhat weird about it, but I'm willing to bet that Judge Moore and Huckabee and all that, I think in the end result, they know which way the history's going. They know which way the wind's blowing. But they also know that they would never succeed in politics or anything else. You know, if Huckabee were to wake up one day and decide to go ahead and embrace this new world, he wouldn't have a TV show. He wouldn't have popularity and he would,
no,
you know,
he'd be brokering me.
He'd be, but yeah, but he has found a niche in stoking up and basically playing to ignorance. Let's stoke up the racist firebrand. You know, and I have to edit myself here for polite sake, but to take the most ignorant and actually cater to the ignorant, racist, misogynistic part of people.
Well, I was concerned that I not commit Huckstraby saturation here, but I got another story in the stack, complete with audio, John, in which he says that gay marriage lies remind him, you know, because he was there, of, come on, anybody, you know where he's going, Nazi Germany.
Yeah, well, that's, 552 where I'm at now, so whatever that is out in your time of the world.
Well, no, but we didn't say the guy's actual name.
My fault. I forgot. I didn't see the small print. Yeah. No. This.
You whiffed on that one, John. Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. I smell sulfur and brimstone and my butt burning. Okay. It's okay. But yeah. No. These guys. That's how he makes his money. You know, you're correct in calling him a huckster, because that's his stick. Go down into the Alabamas and the Arkansas and the Northwest and Northeast Texas and scream and holler about Jesus and God and blah, da, 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 and it all comes down. And sometimes when I'm really mean and nasty to these guys, I tell them flat out what it is. You're a white male, soft, doughy, pudgy bastard who's afraid that some women are going to like a virile black man instead of you.
Well, look, even Star Parker's verbal rape comment, and it's tough to stomach, especially because she is a woman of color, Star Parker's verbal rape comment is nothing more than the Mandingoization of Barack Obama. And it's that same exactly. old dirty libel that, you know, oh, the black, you know, them black men, you know, I mean, you know how it is with them. I mean, you know, right, like a donkey right down to the goddamn knees, and a white woman gets around them, and, well, the next thing you know, we're all just out in the... Right. Because a black man cannot be trusted not to just rape. And it is that same sleazy, filthy, slimy libel just trotted out for in a 21st century package by a woman who's all about, you know, all about rights and liberty.
Yeah, well, it's all about I'm not getting money, and if the gay people are all, you know, if the lesbians are all going off and doing, you know, finding other women to be with, then that's fewer women that might want to sleep with me. And
when Cletus just don't understand, there aren't that many women that wanted to sleep with him in the first place.
Yeah, but Bob, you got to keep the illusion going. You know, if you always have the old statement, there's always more fish than sea. But if you find out that half the fish like other fish, then the fisherman's kind of he's out of luck.
Oh, don't go there. We'll wind up talking about the Kanye West episode of South Park, and I'm just not—I don't think that. The things that capture people's imagination. I got a bunch of likes on my Facebook page today for posting something about the Grammys. I was just ashamed to admit that I watched them. You know, because I'm a serious, progressive liberal who's supposed to be above that kind of thing and everything.
I didn't watch it, but I was amazed. I guess I live in a cave or something because I have no idea who this guy Smith or whatever his name was. But again, I got this feed on my dang phone, and I figured out how to work the filter on it, so. At the end, as they were ending.
Story of my life, John. I can't figure out the filter.
I can't figure out how to filter this damn thing, and I'm finding out that this phone is spying on me in ways that I'm sitting there looking. And I finally got enough somebody to help me out a little bit to figure out just to at least pull up a menu to find out what the apps are actually looking for. And when I finished reading this long list of things that it's reporting on, I'm going, why don't I just give you my DNA profile and get it over with? Because you know everything else.
Just spit on the phone.
You know, I'll spit on the damn phone, and I'll do a little bit, and then deal, and then, you know, I'll just be part of the great machine. But like I said, this guy Smith, I guess he's a country singer or whatever he is. Maybe he's not country, I don't know, but it just kept popping up. Oh, he won best artist. Oh, he won best song. Oh, he won. I'm going, I ain't never heard of this guy before. You know, which I guess shows what kind of mushroom I live under, but, you know, because I don't listen to all that much music, but, I mean, I know Taylor Swift on because she's on every damn billboard I can turn around and see that, and, you know, and all that stuff, but, and because she's a cute girl, so I guess that kind of catches my eye, but this guy Smith, I have no idea who he is. Smith or whatever his name is. He showed up. Oh, he won this. He won that. Oh, he's the greatest new star in the world. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, we got people starving to death out here, and yet everybody will waste their time and energy worrying about who wrote some damn song. And, you know, we're not a noble people anymore. We live in trivia.
Well, what's the phrase? Amused to death, John. Amused to death.
Oh, yeah. It's bread and circuses. It's 21st century bread and circuses. You know, I glanced at an article, like you said, Kanye West, he was bitching about his girlfriend not getting some awards or something, and he's like, it's a racist thing, and dude, he was saying something. I skimmed about a third of the article, and I just left it go because, you know, he's just upset because he ain't getting no money. But yeah,
we've never really talked about, and I don't want to get too far afield or you know into the personal particulars of what you do, but I just need a favor from you. If you ever do go whizzing along I-70 in central Missouri and you get to the Kingdom City exit, I just need a quick review on whether the biscuits and sausage gravy at Gasper's are still freaking awesome. I just need to know that.
Mm. Let's see. You're going to tell a diabetic to go eat biscuits and gravy. I see how you are.
Well, it,
okay.
The devil, you know, the devil appears in many forms, John.
Yes, and he turns into a fluffy biscuit when you least expect it. No, actually, I've eaten at Jasper's before, and although I didn't actually have the biscuits, the food's not too bad.
Well, the biscuits and gravy, if it's still the same way it was a million years ago, the biscuits and gravy roll out about 3 a.m. And when they're first coming out, oh, Jesus. I mean, to get one of those when they're fresh and the gravy's just made, oh, you'd give your home in glory, and if you didn't have one, you'd sublet it.
I've double-checked because, now, I'm probably wrong about this because I normally stop at the Petrol across the street from Jasper's.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember the last time I was there that I stopped in for just because I was doing this quick stop. I'm not even 100% sure they have a restaurant there anymore. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh my God, you're going to have to. You got to report back on that too. And if that's necessary, I'll go sit in sackcloth and ashes and mourn.
I will double check. I might be wrong, but I remember going in there and having to go into an Arby's they had built into the side of it. I'll have to double check and see because. It might be. In fact, I could well be wrong, but I just don't remember a restaurant here recently. And when I last passed through there, but like I said, I could be wrong. I normally stop at the Petros because I got the little card that goes with them, and I can occasionally get a
right.
Showers or get a discounted meal and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got a free orange and cream smoothie the other day at Sheetz with my card, so I know exactly what. I take my cards and I save them up until I'm dead damn broke and need to eat. I got several gas station pizzas saved up, several rounds of gas station wings, and two or three good barbecue sandwiches from Dickie's over in Beckley.
Well. I guess it's a holdover from the old days, but driving a truck, you get these like. They call them loyalty cards, which I said, how can I be loyal to somebody who holds a gun to my head? But, the company, I'm a company driver, so I'll stop at the places they want me to stop at, and I'll get points for my fuel purchases and for some of my other stuff I buy. And they have become desperately needed because, and now this will blow your mind. You probably may not know this, but they charge, if you don't have the free shower credits on your card, these SOBs are charging $12 for a damn shower now.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
And some of them are charging $13 for a shower. And I'm going, water ain't that goddamn. I know there's places where there's water's kind of, a little bit more precious, but it damn sure ain't to the point where it costs $13 for a damn shower.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Let's think in terms of bottled water. $1 a gallon, at least up to the Wiggling Pig it is. And how many gallons in a shower?
Even if you did the whole, no. Most showers are probably less than 5 to 6 gallons. Unless you're in there for a long time or you got a big butt like me and takes a couple extra rotations to get it all done. But, no. See, that's the thing. I've always this kind of drifts back into the conversations you and I have. It seems like every day that goes by, I feel myself channeling more and more of Master Mark's, because you can go to a grocery store, hell, you can go into some of these truck stops and you can buy a gallon of water for a buck, maybe a buck and a quarter. If you actually have your own jug, oftentimes in some of these places you can stop off, push a button, and it'll fill the jug up for a quarter. But go right to the next cooler over and buy a liter, what they call a liter bottle of water nowadays, since they're all trying to go metric.
Communism.
Or quart. Yeah. And they want $1.79 for it. And I'm going, do you son of a bitch know anything about math?
Yes, they do.
Quarts, gallons. You charge a dollar for a gallon, but now you're charging two and three times that. If I buy all the little liters, I'm paying five times what the gallon of water. What? Is the plastic that expensive? Are they using the golden tresses of beautiful virgin women to make the plastic? What?
Well, if you checked into the chat room, Stockton Larry would probably tell you that was Al Gore's doing.
Yeah, well, Al Gore's greatest mistake was he pushed against his own president and didn't win an election. He should have won.
Well, then there's Joe Lieberman. By the way, we've got a Missouri update here. So your diabetic status is still in danger because News Ninja Carol Baker tells me Gasper still has a restaurant. They still serve biscuits and gravy. And she says their biscuits are better than mine, but they can't touch my sausage gravy. Barbie will testify, and not because she's my sister.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to stop there, so I was kind of stroking my brain here trying to remember because, like I say, I almost always park across the street because it's got a bigger parking lot and stuff. And so I was trying to remember when the last time I actually ate there, and I do remember there is an Arby's built in. I think there's an Arby's built in next to it or something like that, and I stopped in for a stupid one of those Arby's.
Oh, I can't. No. See, I can't eat Arby's without the terrible consequences.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, you know, it's like today. I mean, I stopped in at a freaking all these truck stops went for a little while, and they all, you know, they all did this token effort. It's, oh, we're going to help the drivers be healthier, so we're going to make these little plastic veggie cups. Now, granted, they were charging almost $3 for a little cup about, you know, that might have maybe 4 ounces, 5 ounces of vegetables in it. Well, they didn't last very long because about here in the last couple of months, I got to liking them because, hey, I'm trying to lose weight and I'm trying to be a little healthy, and I wouldn't mind, you know, being a kind of a semi-atheist I am, I don't have a high regard to my chances of going to heaven, so I want to stretch this out as long as I can, so I'm trying to eat right, and I go, where's your vegetable cup? So we start carrying those. Why? Well, we weren't making enough money. We were throwing too many of them away. And you can't adjust your order to order what you need, not what you don't want. Well, the corporate tells us, and I'm going,
it's not even corporate. It's some computer somewhere. The same thing happened over at Kroger's, where I try to shop at Kroger's because I despise Walmart. When I can, I shop at our little Wiggling Pig up here to support the last viable local business around me. But they were getting in some little coffee pods. In their own Kroger private selection label, and it was a Swiss water process decaf, because I have to drink decaf, and no jokes, please. I always get hell when I say decaf. I'll be getting some snarky comment from Marty in 3, 2, 1. So I loved them. It was the best tasting decaf they had going, and I bought them all. And you would think that the inventory computer would go, well, Bob bought them all. Time to restock. Thanks for playing. No, they're gone. They're never coming back.
Try this on for size, matching the loyalty cards. Every truck stop, you walk up to the counter, you got your stuff in your hand, you set it down on the table, the first sentence out of the cashier's mouth is, you got a loyalty card? You got your punch card? Want to swipe your card? And I'm going, okay. Now, a lot of your grocery cards and stuff, I don't know, I haven't had one of those in years, but the cards I've got now are, I mean, you had to register them. They got your name, your address, your email address, all this crap, phone number, everything. And I'm saying to myself, okay, let's stretch our mind just a touch. These little buggers are not only wanting to know who I am, but they want to know every little damn thing I bought down to the last little coconut and an almond joy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, oh, so we can improve our services. And I'm going, okay, I mean, I can understand
that.
To some extent, I could tip my hat to you just a little bit, but I'm saying, do you think maybe that might, you might be going just a little too far? Because I called up the one of the truck stop chains, and for politeness, I'll keep the name of the truck stop chain out of it. I called them up and asked them, because I was getting a little irritated. And I mean, because I lost the card, and at that time, the last card, I was on the old grandfather clause, which was not registered. It was just a points card. I, you know, swiped my fuel card and swiped that card, and they put the points and whatever on there, and then I could use them, no name attached. But when I lost that card, I had to get a new one, and they said, oh, no, we need all this information. And I'm like, for what? Oh, it's to serve you better.
Well, and just to share a little tidbit of information with you, run over to the Esquire Politics blog, you know, Charlie Pierce. He's got a piece in there today about some questions being asked by Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts about all the connectivity and the computer interfaces and the data transmission and the wireless this and the wireless that inside modern automobiles. And Ed Markey is a little bit disturbed because apparently this shit is eminently hackable.
Oh, it's eminently hackable. And let me refer back to what I was talking about earlier. A young lady helped me out a little bit, and I managed to finally pull up. But it, of course, required me another app download, so that didn't go. I didn't like that very much, but I had to get an app download to actually pull up on my phone to find out what all these different apps are looking for. Now, let's actually break it down. Now, first of all, the app I'm going to refer to is a TV show. There's apps for like History Channel, for Lifetime, for ABC, NBC. And every once in a long while, if I'm sitting someplace and I can't get the broadcast TV, or I don't want to watch one of my movies, I'll go ahead and watch a little, you know, maybe an hour or something on my phone. So I downloaded History Channel. I like History Channel. I haven't actually used it yet. Now, you got to keep that in mind. I haven't used it yet. I have not watched any shows. I haven't even opened the damn thing up. I've had it for maybe 2 months. This thing has wanted to update 7 times in the last 2 months. And I'm going, what the hell are you updating? I haven't done anything with you. So this girl, like I said, she helped me out. Got this little app. We opened it up. I started, and I pulled up the History Channel. What app? You know, because a lot of times, of course, they'll do that, you know, that blanket app permission that they'll just dump at you, and you're looking at 5,000 pages, and so you just go accept or not accept. I've learned now you better read them damn things, because the History Channel wanted access to my Bluetooth information. It wanted access and to my call information. It wanted access to my phone book.
Oh, and I recently learned a little bit about that, John, because I'm preparing for the day eventually when we can bring another gizmo line in line with the system here to add another phone to the process. So I'm toying learning Android. Because the last contact I had with Android was on an Evo like 5 years ago or something. And back then I just decided, wow, this is Android, no thanks. But the latest version this thing's running, now with every app it tells you before you load it, and if it's the case it says so very proudly, this app requires no extra authentications. Or no extra data, okay, install. But some of the ones that, you know, I mean, they want your shoe size.
Yeah. When I pulled this thing up here, this thing, and that's the part that bothers me the most. I might be able to understand. I've got a couple of navigation apps on my phone. Now, I could conceivably understand if it wanted, for instance, a listing to be able to, you know, have an idea of where I went, where I've gone, things like that. That would at least make some sense. But when a damn TV channel app wants to know my call log, my phone numbers, my contact list. It wanted in Bluetooth information. I mean, it basically, and then I find out when I really get to digging around this stupid thing, these stupid apps are turning themselves on
without your permission.
Because I noticed, oh, without my permission. And what was even funny about it is that as I did this as a test one night, I did a restart, which basically shuts all the apps down, closes everything up, and then reboots everything back up. Well, what I did was is I did a restart to close all the apps, and then I powered the phone down. Okay, great. I have the phone normally plugged up into my truck, you know, just, you know, in the cigarette lighter or whatever. Well, I unplugged it because I was curious about something because I read all this, I saw this apps, and I kept seeing this, the one app that the young lady had me put on actually was telling me that apps were starting up without my permission. And it was causing battery drain. Why is my battery draining? Well, apps keep restarting. Well, what the hell are they restarting for? And then she showed me, these apps are turning themselves on, and if you happen to be passing through an area like I'm in Sprint or what have you, so it has the free, in fact, I think it's even doing it in the roaming, but for the sake of politeness, I'll say just going through the free zones. This phone will just, I'm driving down the middle of the highway, I haven't used the phone, haven't done anything with it in 100 miles. And I'll glance down, and suddenly it's doing that little speeding circle thing, sinking. So I've unplugged everything, went to bed, woke up next morning, turned the phone on. It was down 15% of power, and it had been off all night.
Yeah.
So I pulled everything back up, and it turns out that the apps have been starting up and trying to communicate with things all night long. I'm going, if the damn phones are doing this, holy crap, cars. You're right. The cars are talking all over the place.
Well, and Devin just sent me a quick note saying, read up on smart TVs. You'll shit the mother load.
I know. It scares the, I don't even want to think about that.
He says it's the telescreen. Well, it's the telescreen from 1984.
Yeah. The damn TV is watching you while you're watching it. Holy smoking sandboxes.
I
don't even think we're a decade away. There's a sign. I saw this, and I even asked the manager at Walmart. I happened to be walking into a Walmart, and they had this sign, and it wasn't, like, super predominant, but it was tucked in near the entranceway. And as I walked by, and I just happened to notice it, and I leaned down, and I read it. And it had advisory. Walmart uses IR technology in various products and services. If you have any questions, please come talk to customer service. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So I walk over and I ask them, oh, yeah, a lot of our items now have radio chips in them for security and for inventory purposes and whatnot.
Yeah, and Devin points out Xbox 2 and PlayStation, and we're all just going to be wired right out to Gazoo pretty soon. I had a note from Steve from Vermont a little bit ago, John, and he said, when do we use the F word? You know, fascism. Doesn't the word fascism cover the bases here? Fascism is capitalism plus murder, Upton Sinclair.
He's absolutely correct. I mean, when they want to know, you know, information is power. And when you have all the information, what is it, that damn character in that one Batman movie that Jim Carrey played? Well, if information is power, then a god am I. And I'm going...
Yeah, and by the way, another little piece of breaking news that just ran across while we were talking. Brian Williams of NBC has been suspended from NBC News for 6 months without pay. Carol Baker notes...
Oh, poor baby.
Carol Baker notes he is officially the only person to be punished for lying about the Iraq War. And yeah, absolutely. Dick Cheney yet walks free with some decent human being's heart beating away in his malevolent chest. Hey, John, I got to roll on, but it's been a wonderful conversation.
Oh, yeah, my fault. I didn't bother glancing down at the time.
No, there is no fault involved. This is conversation radio. It's how it's supposed to work.
Hi, good evening, and have a nice night.
Well, and just let us know when you're near Kingdom City.
Okay.
All right, see you, John. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. News Ninja Carol Baker points out regarding Brian Fishes that all this was ginned up by Fox News. I don't think there's any suspicion. This is just stupid. Meanwhile, via the Borowitz report, a little something here. We have new requests out for, I don't know, newsier moments in the program. The reanimated corpse of Dr. Jonas Salk, the medical researcher who developed the first polio vaccine, rose from the grave Friday morning on what authorities believe is a mission to hunt down idiots. The zombie version of Salk, wearing a tattered white lab coat and looking incredibly angry, according to one eyewitness, was seen advancing on the United States Capitol building at approximately 11 a.m. While Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky hid in the Senate cloakroom, armed security forces repelled the zombie virologist, who, seemingly unharmed, moved on in search of new prey. According to law enforcement, the reanimated Salk then stole a car and headed off in the direction of Trenton, New Jersey. "We have reason to believe he's coming for Governor Christie," said a staff member from Christie's office. "Fortunately, the governor is never here." With both Disneyland and Marin County on high alert, a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security warned that as long as the rampaging vaccine pioneer was at large, law enforcement would be stretched thin. "Unfortunately, we do not possess the resources to protect every idiot in this country," the spokesman said. And that's the way it is in idiot America. God almighty. It is 20 minutes past the hour, and lines are both open. 304-663-4676 is the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN, and 304-574-8178 is the other line, and of course Skype to Skype is always an availability. And looky there. Oh, quick back. It's our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not a heck of a lot. I got to get out of Walter Concrete mode.
All right. So I'm just coming in and haven't done any news today. You mentioned Scarborough. I know everybody's still talking about Netanyahu. Your last caller really laid it out in terms of everyone's privacy, especially if you have a smartphone, well, any sort of electronic device, laptop, anything. Your privacy is not your own. That doesn't exist any longer. And what makes things worse is most young people, because they haven't grown up with any sense of privacy, they put their entire life out online. We're really in a bad way. You know, much more than we realize.
Well, and one of the things that's most disturbing out of this, Angry, is the fact that, on the one hand, we've got a government that admits and owns up to the fact that it's spying on all of us in the first place. Well, what better way to counter the necessity of spying than just convince teaching everybody to put all their shit out there for everybody else to read in the first place?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, when I looked at Facebook. Well, I really thought this about MySpace first, but when I saw Facebook, it was pretty obvious that, you know, this is what they call human intelligence. You know, people just flat out giving up information that wasn't asked for about private things. I mean, I have two female friends who I know when their menstrual cycles are because they talk about it online, you know, and their employers know about it. You know, at least one I know for sure because her employer monitors her social media. So, you know, these things can be brought up in court against you. They can be used against you in terms of blackmail. Anybody, everybody is open to blackmail at this point. You know, we talked about this too. I know a few men now. So it was a couple. Now it's more than a few, several. Their wives and girlfriends found them. They traced them through their iPhones or through their Macs. You know, located them and then used Google Street View to actually take a photograph of their vehicle, or in one case, a bicycle, right in front of a woman's house who they, you know, looked up her address, her name, found out everything about her on social media, and pretty much laid everything out. I know what you're doing. You can't deny anything. I have photos of you, you know. I have photos of your car in front of the house. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Orwell was very prophetic. He saw what was coming in terms of telescreens before a lot of us did. Real sci-fi is scary because it points out, you know, where things are going. And we've been there for a hell of a long time. I mean, we're living in a fascist state. You know, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think among anybody who is serious about it, I think that debate has become moot. On the other hand, however, there are a lot of people out there who are still pushing this notion of, no, it's not. No, this is America. America, the greatest country in the world. I got a link here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. There he is. Lawrence Silberman is a federal appeals court judge. And what he's doing, writing columns out there for publication in mass media, is beyond me. But, well, you know, I guess he's got First Amendment rights too, huh? But
we
all
do, supposedly.
So now that the question is being asked, and it was just asked of me, now that Brian Williams has been suspended without pay for 6 months for lying about what happened in Iraq, does that mean that George Bush and Dick Cheney will soon be answering charges in The Hague? The answer, of course, is no. And in point of fact, the reason for asking that question is because George Bush and Dick Cheney told great big humongous lies, and there's nothing left to debate about in this regard, Angry. They lied us into a war that they were itching to have for reasons that were their own, but were certainly not the reasons of the foreign policy of the United States of America. Well, enter Lawrence H. Silberman. And he's a Reagan appointee, of course. And he was given a column, given some column inches in the Wall Street Journal. And he said, and you might want to sit down for this if you're not already angry. Others might want to access the hockey puck.
It is one thing to assert then or now that the Iraq War was ill-advised. It is quite another to make the horrendous charge that President Bush lied to or deceived the American people about the threat from Saddam. After relitigating the case for invaded, so blah, 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 he says, I am reminded of a similarly baseless accusation that helped the Nazis come to power in Germany, that the German army had not really lost World War I, that the soldiers instead had been stabbed in the back by politicians.
Well, that is what was said in Germany.
Yeah, and it was also what was said in Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina and Florida and Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas and Arkansas. Oh, we could have whooped them.
Man, right? I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I hear that shit. There are Confederate flags flying around out here.
But the whole idea now that anybody who points out the fact that there are bodies in graves because of he tried to kill my daddy is now officially, according to a sitting federal appeals court judge who is supposed to maintain some at least sham neutrality in all things and avoid the appearance of impropriety. We're all Nazis now for saying that George Bush lied us into a war when in fact there is hard, solid, irrefutable evidence that that is absolutely a fact. I mean, you remember when he said, fuck Saddam, we're going to take him out.
Well, yeah, but look, that's how the language has been stretched, whether it's the United States, whether it's the UK, whether it's Australia, New Zealand. There have been times when it's been politically expedient to stretch the language. Now, you had a... I don't know what level of politician he was, who I believe says city council something, and I believe this was over the water issues in Detroit. If it wasn't I frankly don't remember the background, but I remember this much. He had the nerve to say to this woman who was standing on the podium, because this was on democracynow.org, that because she was concerned about the quality of the water, that she was a terrorist, that she could possibly be a terrorist because she is concerned about the quality of the water. You know, you have environmental terrorism, which is real. You know, I've never, I mean, I have my issues with environmental lobby for a lot of reasons. I mean, you saw what Greenpeace just did not too long ago. It, you know, all over a sacred site in Peru. There's, you know, I agree with them. You know, I'm 100% about nature, but I don't like a lot of the ways that they go about it. And there's a certain attitude, there's a certain air about a lot of that activism. But you also have another, end of that, where I'm not talking about people who are literally tying themselves to trees or live up in the tree to make a political statement. You have folks that actually, have done violence or have talked about it anyway. They've gotten caught. Most of them have actually admitted to it. They come out, they talk about it. All right. Identify them as what they are, extremists. But for somebody to ask about the water quality of someone in which he pays his goddamn salary in terms of taxes to be used in that way. Now, we can say that is ridiculous, but this is what happened when Woodrow Wilson was president. When they first started coming up with these, anti-social laws, because there were people speaking up against World War One.
And in no small numbers, right.
In no small numbers. And what did they do? You know, Mitchell Palmer came around and grabbed everybody. This is how Herbert Hoover got his start.
The Palmer Raids.
He used to work for the Enemy Alien Bureau, right? And then they brought him over because he had that experience in dealing with Russians and Italians. And the majority of that time, there was terrorism on the left. It was coming from the Italian community in Boston. They were anarchists. Galleanis, actually, particular anarchist revolutionary theorists who believed in using violence. So, you have what was called 1919. You had race riots going on in the South. There were people being hung and burned alive and killed in the South. And there was a few whites that died, too, because there were at least three cases where people fought back. But 1919 was a pretty bloody year for the African in the United States. But that was also the same year that these Boston anarchists sent out I can't remember the exact number, but it was a little less than 40 devices through the mails. And one of them actually, the guy destroyed himself trying to deliver his personally to Mitchell Palmer's home, who was the attorney general at the time, like I said, under, Woodrow Wilson, who was selling, munitions to both sides in World War One, and had no problem with anybody else that was, the Americans that were making money from it. And only got into it the same way the United States got into World War II, was really tacitly through private business, be it the DuPonts or the Bush family, what have you, helping them make the Panzer tanks that they were using against American soldiers over there. Once things had changed over, then they decided, okay, well, we don't like Hitler anymore, and we're going to do something, pretty much when, England was on his last legs. And to stop... the people who were saying, wait a minute, why are we getting in this when you were first supporting? How did it change like this? The same thing that happened in World War One. There were plenty of people that were for it. I'm not going to lie to you, Bob. When this whole thing with Saddam came up, the way that the mainstream news was reported, I did not have access to the internet because technically it really wasn't out there. And I was like, man, they're doing this, rape rooms, they need to get this son of a bitch. I'm not going to lie. It's now after, looking at everything and saying, wait a minute, Desert Storm and then, Bush Jr., something is wrong about this. And what really made me start questioning was the fact that, what was the name of the general who led everything? Schwarzkopf.
Oh, yeah.
He came out and said, hey, we put Saddam back into power after he conceded, after he dropped Kuwait. We went over there, I believe it was the North, and hey, we got rid of the Kurdish and the indigenous goddamn resistance to him, and put his ass back in power. Why? Because he was the type of straw man the hell that we needed, and we still had these problems with Iran, and this was the strategy of tension, right, that they were using in this part of the world. And, of course, like a lot of these things, they reverberate back. The Taliban, all of this bullshit got started because of a certain level of support from the outside, because they were beefing with Russia, which was on its periphery. But they were at the time, but because of the Vietnam syndrome, to say that something was wrong with this invasion, yeah, I don't like communism, but something is particularly wrong with what's going on in Afghanistan and why are we involved in this, it was a little hard to hit you with this type of thing. But now, and why I brought up 1919, I'm sorry I'm being long-winded about
this. No, go, man, go.
No, the point is that the left, in terms of this small cabal of Italian anarchists in 1919, started a hell of a lot of violence. Now, yeah, the Klan was going on, and like I said, they were lynching black people left and right. They were shooting at Indians whenever they got a chance, right? But the point was nobody was looking at that because this is violence against niggas and Indians. So who cares? But when you start looking at what was happening with the Boston Anarchists, they really ran after the system. They said flat out that they were going to change the system through force. So they already wanted to crack down on the anti-war movement, you know, which was separate from that, didn't have anything to do with that. Of course, there were American anarchists that were involved. They were not connected to this. You had the Russian League of anarchists in New York City. They were not involved in any of this. They certainly got into street confrontations, and they certainly, you know, got into fistfights with neo-Nazis and so on, and people who were attacking the Jewish community in New York and in parts of Philadelphia. You know, certainly did. But this particular group did this. They used violence. And then they used the system to come down on the entire left, and that was the end of it. Because anybody that said anything against the war, anything that said anything about anti-immigration, that didn't support the nativist you know, position, anyone who said anything about civil rights, that was part of the Palmer Report. Even though they were concerned about communists, more than half of the report was concerned about Marcus Garvey and what was happening with the black movement. You know, they could have gone after the Klan, but they didn't. And we can talk about how the Senate defended the Klan.
Well, and let's take a moment, too, Angry, and note that this is the anniversary, the 100th anniversary, no less, this week, just a day or so ago. Found out about it from a post by Matt Osborne. This is the 100th anniversary of the release of what is acknowledged by film historians to be a groundbreaking piece of cinema for its technical, for what it does technically, but also one of the most horrific manifestations of mass-marketed racism this country has ever known, namely D.W. Griffith's The Birth of a Nation.
But they read, oh, well, yeah. I mean, I had to see that, and they didn't tell me what it was about when I went to see it. You know, I was in school, and it was part of a film history class, because this is what they were telling us what all America's cinema was based on. You know, this is why America's the leader in cinema and such and such and so on. And I went, and, you know, when I just remember going home and saying to my dad, hey, have you ever seen this film? And he said, yeah, I heard about it. And, you know, I don't know why are you even asking me? And I told him that they showed it to us, and his first question was, why the hell are they showing a class full of black kids and Puerto Ricans a film like this? And, you know, we sat through the whole thing over like a week. We went through a few sittings. And hey, you know, that was the beginning. I mean, that was the first film shown at the White House under Woodrow Wilson ever.
Yes, Woodrow Wilson loved it.
He loved it. He said that was the film that explains the struggle of the white man on this continent, you know.
And as Matt Osborne noted, he became more of a Woodrow Wilson was an awful racist, and he became an even bigger racist than he already was, having watched that film. This was posted, Matt Osborne posted this over at the Horn Facebook page on Sunday. Sunday was the 100th anniversary. Matt's got something called the Great War Blog going on. It is www.oneblog.osborneinc.com. And he writes, a century ago today, the most racist movie ever made is shown to the public for the very first time at Clunes Auditorium in Los Angeles. Based on and originally named for Thomas Dixon's novel and play, The Klansman, really, it is simultaneously one of the most visually influential and important films ever made, as well as one of the most profitable. Becoming the first film ever screened at the White House, Birth of a Nation will only deepen President Woodrow Wilson's racism. It will also spark a renewal of the Ku Klux Klan at Stone Mountain, Georgia, and a disturbing rise in lynchings across America. And he goes on to point out that D.W. Griffith was the son of a treason committer. He was the son of a Confederate veteran.
Yeah, but what did you just say in the what I came into earlier? If you talk to a lot of people in the South, you know, when they talk about the war of aggression, that's how you know you're in the South.
Because sure.
They talk so much about traitors. You know, oh, well, you're a traitor. Well, what do you mean I'm a traitor? You support Obama. Well, what are you talking about, I support Obama? Well, you don't think that he's a Muslim. Because he isn't.
Jesus.
Yeah, this was what, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, he isn't. What are you talking about? Well, then why is he supporting them? I'm like, supporting who? Supporting the Muslims. How is he supporting the Muslims? I asked this guy. He goes, well, he's not going after them. I'm like, what do you mean he's not going? I said, what do you mean, in this country? Because I know what he meant. And he goes, of course, they're all over the place. I said, well, you know, you listen to Alex Jones? And he said, yes. And I'm like, do you watch Fox News? And he said, yes. And I said, well, in terms of accuracy, why don't we talk about Alex Jones for a moment? Alex Jones went on the whole Y2K thing, saying that all of the computers were going to shut down. He was reporting, because I have the audio. I've used it on a show. He reported that there were tanks and troops on the streets in Texas and throughout different parts of the country, that that banks were failing, that Russia was launching ICBMs. He was going nuts for about 5 hours live. And, of course, nothing happened.
Nothing of the sort was happening, right.
Nothing was happening. You know, I mean, the one glitch that was there, because everything was, you know, zeros and ones and what have you, they fixed that. No, the banking system was not going to allow that. All right, so they took care of that. But, you know, so he's like, maybe he was getting reports from people and it wasn't his fault because he was hearing reports from people that called him because that's how his show works. I said, exactly. And I said, there are, or were at the time, because Bill Cooper was one of them, they said, look, he's the type of fellow that comes around and says that kind of stuff, so they come after us. Because, you know, a real patriot isn't talking like that. A real patriot would debate you. He's not going to talk about doing anything to you, you know. And he would go on like this. So then, you know, he's like, okay, well, maybe you have a point. I said, so what about Fox News? I'm like, do you trust Fox News? He goes, it's the only news that tells the truth. So I just told him about what was going on. What's this cat's name that's in court right now saying that Bin Laden gave him a job.
Oh, Zacharias Moussaoui. And again, we're a week past that, and just not a hell of a lot being said.
No, we're talking about Ryan Williams, who lied about something how long ago?
I know.
That up. He was made to fall on his sword to move away from what the hell was just happened. If you know anything at all in terms of not dealing with the mainstream news so much, but I do believe that CNN reported this, but the question is, how did they report it? One of the three main names, and now we expected Bandar Bush to be in there. I'm not surprised that an intelligence chief from the Saudis was there. I expect that. That goes with the territory. But for the cat that has 48% of the controlling stock, or 48% of the stock of Fox News, of News Corp, to be brought up in, and I mentioned this to him. He told me that I was a liar. And I said, hey, do you have a phone? He had an iPhone. I said, look it up. And then he looked it up and said, well, I still think you're reading more into this than it is. I said, see, that's denialism. I said, you would halfway deal with the Alex Jones thing because you know you've already seen, and a lot of you have admitted that he has been extremely wrong about certain things. I said, these words from your own lips. But in this, you simply don't want to accept the fact that you've been plagued for the past 10, 12 years.
Yeah. Well, and look, so we got Brian Williams out of the way. So that means that what that means is that NBC has now been taught to be much more conservative in its reporting. And let's remember that Brian Williams wasn't exactly hollering, stop, stop, no, wait, as we ran furiously toward war in 2003 and 2002.
Well, hey, Bob, you and I are both journalists. Maybe we're not big time, but what the fuck, man? Nobody at no time ever said to any of the editors, anybody that had to proofread, check, validate anything before it went to press, hey, that's not what happened. I was on the flight after that, and I got a rundown when we landed.
Yeah.
But I wasn't on that, and somebody got that wrong to try to save his ass and say, hey, you know, somebody got that wrong. Maybe I, you know, in the heat of things, you know, I gave it out wrong.
But see, I think this is important, Angry, for a particular reason. We have a substantial number of right-wing, white-wing warmongers, bloodthirsty bastards that they are, who are itching to get a ground war going with ISIL, ISIS, Islamic State, whatever. Okay.
Because I don't know what the fuck for. They're not going to go goddamn fight it.
Well, no, they're not going to go fight it, but we got it. Look, it's 12 years ago all over again. How many times have I already seen in social media, we got to fight them over there so we won't have to fight them here? Well, you know, I'm just redneck and Scots-Irish enough that I go, no, really, let's fight them here. We know our own ground. It's easier to defend than it is to attack. Let's do that. Come on over, you dumb bastards. Get in your little rubber rafts and start rowing, you stupid pricks.
Yeah, but
because there's a whole bunch of hillbillies and rednecks, but the problem is the hillbillies and rednecks, you know, we probably need it invading if they'll just get rid of their friend there in the White House. You know, he probably orchestrated this, so we can't trust the military no more. But the reason I bring all of this up, and I can't believe I just said, you know, bring it on. Jesus, me and Bush. Oh, God, I'm going to have to drink after the program. But the reason I bring this up is there is this craze, and I mean it's crazed. It's Thorazine dart in the neck crazy. And you know, right in the heart of it all is, the, you know, Lindsey Graham. Now, I saw a USA Today story today, and it was headlined, Obama Embraces Doctrine of Strategic Patience. In other words, he's trying not to get into a full-scale ground war. He's trying to say, you know what, it's hard enough to get the intel to figure out which Saudi prince is financing these bloodthirsty bastards. So maybe we'd want to know. But that was the headline. Obama Embraces Doctrine of Strategic Patience. And Lindsey Graham posts on Facebook, I doubt ISIL, the Iranian mullahs, or Vladimir Putin will be intimidated by President Obama's strategy of strategic patience. From their point of view, the more patience President Obama practices, the stronger they become. Oh, they're getting strong. Oh, mercy. John, yes, you are dashing in your uniform, John. John, get the smelling salts. I'll be in the parlor at the painting couch. Oh, Vladimir Putin's just getting so strong. And oh, my goodness, those mullahs, John. Damn.
Well, he's selling fear because that's what the corporate fuckers who gave him money told him to go out and do. We need to make money, and, you know, part of this bullshit is the oil, but we also need to sell these goddamn munitions. So push a fucking wall with some fucking buddy, or this economy goes down the goddamn toilet. That's what it comes down to. Graham, look, I was going to say Lindsey Graham cracker, but whatever. You know, I mean, he's not going to fucking fight any goddamn thing. He's going to send somebody else's, you know, child to do this. So, you know, fuck him. He needs to totally be out of the
conversation. No. Lindsey is only going to fight the Battle of Julep Junction.
Yeah, well, the hell with him. And see, one of the reasons why I'm saying this is he is going to point out that Iran is not going to be intimidated or Russia is not going to be intimidated. They're not really the fucking problem right now. ISIS is the fucking problem. But like I'm saying, where did ISIS come from? You know, you can't talk about this Saudi king passing here and not talk about where the fucking funding and bullshit for what is going on over there in terms of the type of resistance that they're fucking getting. Somebody has to fucking be paying for it. Now, you know, the Islamic State is selling fucking oil. Europe is buying the goddamn oil. If they were serious about all of this, then fucking do something about that. You know, but then what would they have to do? They would have to go after the European states who are fucking basically funding their bullshit by buying the fucking resource. They have an air force now, I understand, according to the European media. You know, I mean, sooner or later they're going to have a couple of fucking ships if they continue to go on like this, if they're near a fucking coastline. But what happened? Mujahideen, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, right? So, you know, here we fucking go again. Here we fucking go again. You know, here you have the IRA. We can talk about the Irish Republican Army and negativity all motherfucking day long and then tomorrow some. All right? But the bottom line is they were fucking accused of doing things that they didn't necessarily goddamn do. And at one fucking point, you had so many fucking operatives working within the fucking the various IRAs who were doing stuff on their own, right? Creating chaos that didn't need to be goddamn created. And now those former veterans that were a part of all of those groups, because the IRA isn't doing anything. It isn't, nobody gives a damn anymore. The politics for that are done. Nobody really cares. Past a certain age group, nobody cares. But they do care about fucking making money. And they do care about selling dope. And because they were trained in these militant goddamn efforts, now they're part, what, Ireland is the leader of the fucking violent goddamn drug trade in that part of Europe. And then, of course, you got the ex-soldiers of the fucking Kosovo Liberation Army, right? You got the former Ustashi Croatia, who are all military fucking trained. You have all of these people who are doing ethnic fucking cleansing and all this. They're all goddamn drug dealers now. They are the ones that are trafficking the women all over the place. But those who talked about this before it got to this level were accused of supporting terrorism. But at the same time, you got Dr. Ben Carson, who says that ISIS is something to be admired. Nobody is getting on him from the goddamn far right. And what is supposed to be the left? Where was Nancy Pelosi in saying that Ben Carson should be fucking put under investigation for making statements like that? Or Alan Keyes, who's made similar goddamn statements. And they send out these black Republicans to make these stupid-ass goddamn comments because, well, it's just like Michael Steele. You know, you use him, and when he's done, you just get another Negro to take his place. You know, Mia Love, they all make these stupid, you know, fucking statements. In the meantime, you got Christian terrorism here. Eric Rudolph, Scott Rota.
You got you got the Klan calling people to arms to attack Alabama over people who love each other getting married.
Exactly. And you would not hear about a mobilization to do anything, of a special task force to do anything. That same thing happened during Ferguson. I said it before on your show and on mine, and I'll say it again. I have no truck with any of these nonsense black revolutionaries and a lot of white liberals who talk tough. Well, I stand up with my friends against racism all the time. Well, hey, man, the Klan said that they were in Ferguson. They were in Ferguson. We know for a fact that they were in Ferguson because Anonymous found out that Frank Okono, who was the head of the Klan, was using the computers in the police station down there. We just finished talking about all this tracking. They're hackers. They were able to trace him as having checked in on his Facebook thing at their station. And then you had the Oath Keepers, who eventually, because I believe the Department of Justice finally did something about it, because they hadn't done anything but play safe, and we understand why, and there's good reason for it, but not this goddamn safe. They finally got the Oath Keepers out of there. But in the meantime, here was a real case of fascism in America. The oldest terrorist organization in American history that is still functioning, even though the Anti-Klan Act came around to get rid of them. You know, I mean, it was understood that they're violent, okay? They're right here talking about their civil rights, and they were allowed to show up there, and not one militant activist from anywhere in the United States showed up to defend those protesters. Not one. From the Klan. Not one. I'm not even talking about police brutality. I'm talking about the Klan. And I'm not saying to go down there armed or anything. I'm just saying to stand there as a human wall and say, we're not going to put up with this. We're simply not going to goddamn allow this. The Klan in my country? Fuck no. But see, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And it's because we're all, you know, screwed up in terms of language. And Brian Williams is part of the problem in terms of somebody who fucked up language. He is part of this problem, and we should understand that this is not new. The first time we really saw this was in World War I, because you had newspapers and you had the radio. So news could be transmitted. And almost every ethnic group in this country had several newspapers of their own. And people had opinions, and they were trying to stop that. So now you have the internet. So, you know, it really looks heavy-handed to say, okay, well, we're talking about net neutrality, where you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that, you're automatically a subversive if you do that legally. How does it look? But on the other hand, if you can create a climate in which, if you say that you're gay, well, you're a terrorist. What do you mean? You want to come into my church and be openly gay? Yeah, that's terrorizing me. That's making me afraid to sleep and walk the streets during the day because I have to be around a homosexual who might carry certain diseases. Or might make me gay if I stay around you long enough.
Yeah, that catching the gay thing, yeah.
Because what I'm saying is they go about emotion, not facts. If people say that they feel threatened,
well, right. I feel and I believe are the two most dangerous phrases in the English language because they open the gates of hell yawn wide for whatever bigotry someone wants to manifest. Here, we're running out of time here. Got a few minutes left. I might as well send you screaming into the night, angry. Let's check in. Hey, remember how everybody was celebrating? Woo! The American Family Association done got rid of Brian Fisher. Brian Fisher's gone because he finally went too far. He said something nasty about Israel. Woo! Brian Fisher's gone. Brian Fisher ain't gone.
Hell no.
So, just because, you know, sometimes you send me into the night screaming, fair's fair. So let's check in with the not gone Brian Fisher of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand, shall we?
Now, the criticisms that have been mounted against Judge Moore almost always draw a comparison between Alabama in the 1960s. That's back when Democrats tried to resist integration. They tried to preserve strict racial segregation. Democrats were doing that in the South. They try to draw a parallel between Alabama in the 60s and Alabama in 2015. As Colin Powell might have said, this comparison is convenient but invalid because Alabama was wrong on race, but Alabama is right on marriage. So Judge Moore is not defying the law. He is upholding it. It is Judge Grenade who is standing in the courthouse doorway. She is the one who is in defiance of both the law and the Constitution. And I'm suggesting what Judge Moore and these probate judges are doing is in the finest tradition of Martin Luther King Jr. They are waging the civil rights battle of this decade using nonviolent protest to do it.
Right, because a Klan call to arms is nonviolent protest.
It's like that flashback I had of George Wallace when I was a little boy watching him on television, man. Oh, God damn. Look, hey, you know, it's again, none of this is new. It's you know, it's the same soup. It's just reheated, man, on another day. It's the same thing. We're going to take the language and completely fucking twist it so that nobody understands what the hell happened. I mean, you got Mr. Chiropractic Neurology Glenn Beck, who one year he was, you know, I'm a Jew. Say with me, I'm a Jew. After he thus finished insulting all of Judaism, and Abe Foxman apologized to him. Then he turned around and said that he was going to speak up for Martin Luther King Jr. because the liberals wouldn't. And he got one member of the family who's a complete, you know, I don't know without insulting her, you know, articulate her standing in the black community. But he got one of the King family to stand there and nod. Like a human lawn jockey, to the stand there and nod, and validate what he was saying. And he went through this whole thing, and then what, like 2 or 3 weeks later, he started insulting black people again like he didn't do anything. You know, like the other thing just didn't happen.
Yeah, sure.
And this was a lot of fun. So, you know, when you have Bill O'Reilly, who's been caught literally lying twice, proved lying at least twice, he's talked about being in combat, which was a motherfucking lie, right? Talked about
That doesn't apply.
Yeah,
because because Bill O'Reilly is an entertainer, Rush Limbaugh is an entertainer, and they're both Republican entertainers, so they can lie until their noses are 50 feet long.
The Morton Downey defense, that's what I call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got to get out of here, angry, but I sure do appreciate the conversation. It's been a dandy. It always is.
You take care. And please, if you can support the show, please do what you can and visit HitOnRadioNetwork.com and see what he's got going on down there. All right, peace.
Thanks, Angry. Bye now. Our buddy the Angry Indian. It's time to get out of here. We are at the close of this Titanic Tuesday. Another reminder, no program tomorrow, possibly no program Thursday. It depends on how quickly I'm able to get back from Margie's medical procedure in Charleston. That means, big thanks. Big thanks to Reinhardt. Reinhardt did something that has never been done before in the history of this program. Reinhardt provided us all with a Have a Show on Me from his hospital bed. And you wonder why you don't wonder. I remain in a constant state of amazement at the determination of people to keep this program alive and going. So thank you, Reinhardt, and thank you, Jug of Punch, for jumping in shoulder to shoulder with him. Thank you very kindly. And thanks to everybody who keeps all of this going through the months, the weeks, and the years. Thank you.
y'all have a wonderful evening. Have a good Wednesday. I don't know, handle a snake or don't drink the strychnine. The pastor brother minister is going to get a night off tomorrow. So back Thursday or Friday, not sure which. I'll post on Facebook. You can follow me there. I'll post on Twitter. You can follow me there. And we'll all know exactly what's going on. You'll know when I know. Thanks to all of you who keep all of this going. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.